Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is the Sunday show with myself, Gwen Berry. We have guest author Ronald Feynman on with us today, and Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson. Before we begin, though, I'd like to take a moment. If you're anywhere near television or radio, you just saw the rabbi from Poway speaking on air about what happened at his synagogue yesterday. And I think it's real important that we all remember the name of Lori Gilbert Kay. And this was the lady who stepped in front of her rabbi to prevent him from being shot. What she did was she stepped between hate and love. And love won. She lost.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really pretty pretty poignant of her rabbi to say it. He reminded me of a lot of older rabbis I've met in my life. But he said, the only thing we can do to battle the darkness is to bring the light and acts of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
The Jesuit who started the gang recovery group out there, I forget the full name, but he has a house out there that's done fabulous things to help youth in urban areas of California recover from gangs. And he calls it respectful kinship, which means acts of kindness and coming from kindness as often as you can. You know, yesterday, I don't think anybody cannot say that Lori Kay did not stand up to the bully. She not only stood up to the bully, but she stood in front of him and defied his violence. It cost her a life.
Yeah.
None of us can afford not to stand up to the bully. Here in Port St. Lucie, we're in the safest city in Florida, it said, but twice in public, I've stood to a bully. And it doesn't mean that you escalate violence. It means because most bullies, when you stand up to them, will back down. You defuse them.
You're right. I want to also comment about the fact that the 80-year-old girl made a very interesting statement. I saw the girl who was slightly injured, and such a courageous little girl.
Yeah, what did she say, Ron?
Well, she was saying about how it happened and how she got shot in the leg. And how how the rabbi was there to protect her, and the woman who of course got killed. You know, it's something that now she's afraid. She always looks around herself. You know, it's going to be a scarring event still psychologically, and that's a very sad thing.
Oh,
she's going to have delayed stress for the rest of her life. I'm just telling you that right now. That girl will have to deal with that social, psychologically, the whole kit and caboodle,
and
she's
so
going to have
needless.
Issues later on.
It's so pointless for that idiot to cause this grief and this turmoil in innocent people's lives. It's disgusting.
19-year-old college students,
I'm
just shocked by that.
This is Trump's hateful world.
Yes.
Yeah. This is Trump's hateful world.
Yeah, that's the way
it is.
Hate
speech
is terrible.
Hate this shit.
Well, the light has got to shine strong and get rid of this, cast away this darkness as much as possible, because it's just getting way out of hand.
I wanted to mention, I heard about the NFL draft, and the first person picked was African-American, the second one picked was white, and Trump congratulated number two, the white guy, but didn't say anything about the black guy, who was the first draft pick. And I just don't understand how people can think like that, and how anybody can sit by and say, oh, that's no issue. It's just disgraceful.
Well, he is disgraceful, and he has absolutely no concern whatsoever, or no regard for minorities of any sort. What a jerk. What an absolute pompous bastard.
His elevation of this hysteric and live really reached an all-time high this past weekend. I don't listen to it. When he comes on the news, I mute it because it just angers me to hear his voice. But I read what
Same
he
here,
said.
Friend.
And the son of a bitch actually said, he lied about medical procedures, about DNC and abortion. He actually said they deliver babies, wrap them in blankets, and then take them into another room to execute them. That's what he said. I mean,
and the anti-abortion crowd is going to be probably going out to kill some of these doctors and some of these patients based upon that.
They have been for years, Ron. They have.
It's going to get worse, I think, after he makes it. People will believe that and will say, "Oh my God, we got to kill them all." You know,
violence does beget violence, and it's a horrible truth.
It is. It's an absolutely terrible truth. We did have yesterday. We had the She for the People conference.
I loved it.
Out in
She the People, great movement.
Yes, She the People. And it was interesting that the only two candidates that actually got razzed were Bernie and Gabbard. But it's getting more and more clear what what candidates are shining through and which ones aren't. And there's been a lot of talk in the last week about how more and more people are actually, of course, this is you guys thinking she's plugging her candidate, but it's true. A lot more people are drifting to Warren because of how she's out there campaigning. And then, of course, on Thursday, we had Joe Biden, which is one of Ron's favorites, tossed his hat in.
Yes. I still stand by Joe, although a lot of the others are good, but I'm still hoping Joe can go all the way. But we'll have to see what happens in the caucuses, primaries, and also the debate starting at the end of June. That'll be the true test.
How old a man is he there, Ron?
What's that?
How old is Joe Biden?
Joe Biden will be 78 years old 2 weeks after the election. So he'll be take oath of office 78 years and 2 months. Bernie would be 79 and 4 months. So within 8 months of being in office, Bernie would be 80. And within 22 months, so it's 14 months difference, almost 2 years, Joe would be 80. That is an issue which I brought up on my progressive professor blog about the issue of, is it really a good thing? And then we have Buttigieg at the other end, who's half the age of them, so he could be their son. Yeah, and maybe even their grandson, actually, in theory, if they had kids at a young age. It's just weird how the range is from, it's basically 41 years between the oldest and the youngest.
I think one of the biggest spreads we've had over the years.
Ever. Well, we've never had anybody in a long time ever under the age of John F. Kennedy and Teddy Roosevelt. We've only had three presidential nominees who did not get elected who were younger than Kennedy or younger than T.R. Those are the only ones. William Jennings Bryan in 1896 and 1900 was 36 and 40, lost both times. John C. Breckinridge of Kentucky was the nominee of the Southern Democrats in 1860 and was 40 years of age. And then Thomas E. Dewey, of course, was actually 42, but younger than T.R. in exact amount of time. And he lost in 1944, and then he lost again at age 46 in 1948. So they're the only ones who have actually been the nominees younger than Theodore Roosevelt or John F. Kennedy. But we now have three possibilities. We have, after all, Buttigieg, and we also have Eric Swalwell of California, and we have Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii. So we could have a president who's 39 years and 1 day old, which would be Buttigieg, or 39 years and about, I think, 8 months old, which is Gabbard, or I think 40 years and I think maybe a couple of months, which would be Swalwell. So, and they're all, of course, millennials. So it's quite a difference to have the first ones born in the 1980s, younger than my oldest son, which I think is funny. That could possibly be the winner. And Buttigieg, I think, has a real chance.
Very articulate. Incredibly great thinker and great analyzation he has. And he has a lot of ability. He has many, many years ahead of him politically, I think, in this country. We need a voice like his.
Yeah, he speaks seven languages, and he plays the piano.
Incredible.
And he went to Oxford, and also get this, in high school he was the valedictorian in his high school class and wrote an honors thesis on Bernie Sanders in the year 2000 when he was still a House member. I think that's quite humorous. Now he's opposing him and running against him, and he could be his son or almost grandson by age.
Yep. Incredible. Well, the nice thing is that this time around, at this point in time, we have a literal cornucopia of good, intelligent choices.
And, 20 people now running, yes.
I can't wait.
And you might have a couple more.
Too many, actually, yeah. We've got to narrow it down.
But after the debates in June and July, some are not going to look as good. Some are going to bomb out. They're not going to get money. I think before the caucuses in January and February, I'm pretty sure, and primaries, I'm pretty sure it'll be down to about 12, probably. I think one-third will drop out.
Biden will definitely have money. Wall Street threw a party when he tossed his hat in. They'll be putting money in.
Well, he'll have big money. He's lacking severely in the small money gathering.
Well, he's lacking in, never mind, not going there. I'll
say that. All right.
Well, there's worse choices than Joe Biden.
One thing we know about Joe, he's not a sexual harasser, even though he's touchy-feely. Nobody's ever really said that he's a sexual harasser, because that would really turn me off if he was.
Yeah.
Oh, no, of course he's not. What makes him...
He's a good guy. That's why people like him. Even Republicans like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet. One of the things that makes him compelling to the older generation of voters is that he is a very sincerely, and I do mean this sincerely, compelling, empathetic guy. He is.
Yes.
Yes, he's like Hubert Humphrey, who was my original political hero 50 years ago. I always liked Humphrey, and then when he was gone, Joe Biden became like the successor in my mind. He was very similar to Hubert Humphrey. But, of course, Hubert Humphrey ran and lost, and I have a feeling Joe Biden may not be able to win, but we'll have to see how things work out.
You never know. It's such an unpredictable world. And you know the amazing thing about Joe Biden, that I knew this for a long time, but I completely forgot about it. That guy, when he was in Congress, he used to commute back home to Delaware every session. He used to ride the train, without special passes. Incredible man, and it
that
shows
the regular people. Yes,
shows
that's right.
The regular character that he had, the great character.
Yes, and he's a very dedicated family man. His wife, I love. I think she'd be a great first lady, Dr. Jill Biden.
Yes. Oh yeah.
He's a real nice
man. If you have a moment,
he's a real nice man, but he's more than a centrist. He's status quo. He's in with Wall Street, and he's going to offer us no progress or forward movement one bit. Guaranteed.
Well, I want to just make the point and see how you guys react. I spoke to you on the phone earlier, if we could have, which I don't think we will have, a strong Democratic House and Senate, similar to the 1960s under Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, when loads of things got done, and the 1930s with FDR and the New Deal, then all of the things that Bernie Sanders and others like him say would be glorious. But I don't think we're going to have that. So I think at the end, all the promises, none of them or very few will be accomplished, because there'll be opposition from Republicans and even the Democrats control. They won't have 60 seats in the Senate to stop the filibuster. And so I still think it's going to be very, very hard to get the kind of agenda that Bernie wants, because this is not FDR, LBJ time, I don't think. But I hope I'm wrong.
And yet still, those were the same kind of predictions for the mass midterm elections. You know, there's a whole other demographic, too, actually.
True, and the midterm, that's true.
Right now. And not only that, but I don't know if you captured this or not. I think you all probably did, but you seem to not put it forward. Forward is a great word. It's Jack's word. It's a great word, forward. Not putting forward the reality that many of the people who voted in the midterms were very pissed off. Do you think any of them are less pissed at this point with what the Republicans are doing out there, and are less pissed with the status quo of Democrats?
That's true. And, of course, if the young people and the racial minorities and the the people who sat home and, you know, and voted this time, who are the, like, suburban whites, yeah. If they continue the way they are, maybe there will be a strong Democratic Congress. I'm praying for it, but I just have my doubts. That's, I'm just hoping it happens, but I'm wondering. If it could happen, wow, then let's go for everything.
Well, one thing for sure, the Republicans aren't just going to lay down and give up. They never do. They're tenacious, and they're ruthless, many of them. And we've got to do all we can to get them supplanted.
And they've been overturned now in three states on their gerrymandering. So there's going to be a difference in how the votes roll in.
Thank God.
From Wisconsin and Michigan.
And Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. And already
for the key states. You know, but that's the argument for a Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar. They're from the Midwest. That's the argument for them, you know,
yeah.
Some people think.
Well, she's such a peripheral candidate. I don't expect her to be in at the end there. Not even close.
Kamala,
she's a good senator, but I don't think she's presidential material quite yet.
Kamala Harris did a really good
She's been
turning out real well. And Warren is picking up a great deal of attention and speed.
Oh, yeah.
Burning.
You don't hear from Kirsten Gillibrand, though. She's not going anywhere. Looks, or Cory
yeah,
Booker.
She's going to drop out pretty soon, I'm sure.
And Cory Booker is not doing either.
Cory Booker can leave, too. That's fine.
Bernie has misstepped this whole last week. He's had booze on him, and that's never any good. And then today on Joy Reid, his woman of color that speaks for him, Joy put it to her, you know, how come, and several of the people of color that worked for him last time has not gone back. That's another thing you wonder about. But this young lady, and I can't remember her name, but she can get really
her name
loud.
Is Sanders, isn't it? Her last name is Sanders.
I'm not sure, correct. She can get very loud. She almost like Kellyanne Conway can overtalk people at times, but
she's from Ohio. She used to be a state representative in Ohio.
Right,
I think her name is Sanders, which is ironic.
She was trying her best today to say that, you know, oh, no, he, you know, as he falls back every time it's an issue about women or it's an issue about people of color, with people of color, he's always falling back, well, I, you know, marched with MLK, and people are like, we're not buying this. He actually got boos at She the People on this and Raz. And that's the second time this week he got it on that. And also it was his answers on some of the women's issues when he was in New York at, I forget the conference, just last week sometime. It's, you know, the only two real progressives in the race, I think, at this point are Bernie and Warren. The rest of Kamala Harris leans that way very definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the front running too. No way that Biden is a progressive. And here's the other thing. A lot of people are basing their votes too on who's taking money from the big industry and banks. And that's where Biden will be getting most of his security. And in the debate, that's going to slap him back in the face if that's his route for funding.
I wanted to mention, I looked up about the campaign spokesman for Sanders, that what happened is Simone Sanders was the press secretary for him and for Sanders in 2016, Simone Sanders, but she's left the campaign. You're right. It's Nina Turner we're talking about, who is an Ohio member of the state legislature, and she's the co-chair of his 2020 campaign. That's who you're seeing was very, can be very loud, Nina Turner.
She can be really abrasive.
She can be. She's very emotional.
It just kind of reflects how Bernie can be. I've seen more people and heard more people talk about him as the cranky old guy, you know. But he has a very large groundswell of people that know that he is progressive and that his, you know, he gets the nomination, I'll hold my nose and vote for it. But
I would vote for whoever's the nominee, no matter who, obviously. But, you know, but some are better than others. Like, we all agree, different people, you know.
Well, I also have heard over and over again in a lot of places, including close to home, friends who voted for, like, Johnson last time out, everybody is bound and determined that whoever the Democrat candidate is, they will be voting for them, which is, I think, wonderful news.
If they really do it. But, of course, people often say one thing to people in public and they don't do it. That's the problem, you know. You have to hope that what they say, they mean.
No. Jack, you're in the Midwest. What does it seem like people are going for? Are they really rallying out there for Klobuchar? Is it a big, strong?
No. She's making very little impact. Maybe a little bit here in Minnesota, but not that much. No, she's not a major candidate by any stretch of the imagination, and I don't expect her to survive the primaries very long, or the debates even. I don't expect her to even make it to the primaries because she's just not that strong and she's not that distinctive. And she suffers from the same type of thing that Christian Gillibrand suffers from. Not enough people know her, and she's not that famous and not that controversial or not that topical that people will quote her and flock to her support. I don't think it'll happen.
However, she could be a vice presidential running mate.
She could be. Yeah. And
yeah. She's from the Midwest, from the Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, Walter Mondale, country.
Yeah,
so it's still possible. Yeah.
That's a good possibility. And thanks for bringing that up, Ron. It's very true. And
yeah.
You know, it would be fine if she was. But I just want Trump to be defeated, preferably, definitely, by a progressive, who will really lead the country in a good direction. And have a good following in Congress so that we can get some good, beneficial legislation passed at long last that's so long overdue. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, it's 50 years since the Great Society and 30 years earlier the New Deal. So
right.
It's time, absolutely.
I think
the country is probably going to vote that strong in Democratic Congress because that's important, too. If you get the president but you get a Republican Congress or a split Congress, one house each, nothing's going to get done.
Even with
a progressive like Sanders. That's the problem. You have to have everything work out, and that's going to be difficult.
There are two candidates that are vying for the Democrat place to run against Turtle, the one Jack calls the Turtle.
Constipated Turtle?
McConnell, yes.
Constipated Turtle, Mitch McConnell, yeah.
He's very evil. Oh, my God.
He's disgusting.
Trying to bring the courts to be so right-wing, it'll be that way the rest of our lives and beyond, you know.
And he's so completely dull and uninspiring.
Yes.
As is Mike Pence. What a dull person.
And his wife. Can you imagine his first lady?
Dense Pence. He'll never be in a separate room from his wife. And if he is, there'll never be another woman in the same room. That is utterly ridiculous. How utterly ridiculous.
Yes.
What a goofball.
No, that's...
But he's a heartbeat away. That's the problem.
That is some true psychological issues, guys. That is some true psychological
issues. That's weird. That's just strange.
But this whole debate between him and Buttigieg, both from Indiana, about who's a good Christian and all that. You know, Pete Buttigieg is actually fairly religious. He goes to Episcopal Church, services every week in South Bend, and you know, he's really standing up to the gay phobia, I guess, the homophobia of Pence and his wife. And I'm proud of him for that.
Yeah, a majority of Christians in the country, not evangelicals, mind you, they're not what I would call the Christians. A lot of Christian, you know, Baptists, Episcopalians, Catholics, whatever. A lot of these people are hurrahing Buttigieg right now because he is absolutely winning that war.
Absolutely. Yep.
Look at Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, and the way he's an attack on Buttigieg.
That guy, he's disgusting. Off the face of the earth. Nuts. He's nuts.
Was a sinner, in quotes, when he was young, and then he realized, ooh, just a minute now. I'm Billy Graham's son, and he's getting on. I could take over and make loads of money and not have to pay tax to the pastor.
There we go.
And that's what a lot of these people do.
There
they're a bunch of liars, you know.
You nailed it, Ron. You nailed it, Professor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's Jim and Tammy Banker all rolled up into one again, all over again. We get the revival of all this crap every few decades, and and it's coming on strong with Franklin Graham. What a jerk! What a hypocrite! I can't believe these guys.
And yet, the people who follow them, I don't know how many, but apparently a fan number.
Oh, yeah, their coffers aren't hurting.
And that's why, you know something? I think Buttigieg may more than anybody need Secret Service protection, because there are probably people out there say, oh, my God, a gay man who has a husband would become first husband. We can't allow it. He could be in danger. He really could be more than anybody else.
Oh, yeah, some out there that would just love to blow him away.
I think he should really have Secret Service protection.
The person that does that sort of thing, you know, they get extreme.
Yes. And a lot of these white supremacists are the same way, too, not only anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish, anti-African-American, anti-Latino, but also anti-gay.
Yeah, big time. Yep.
I think he needs to, if there's any report of any threats, he needs protection, maybe more than some of the others, you know. I'm worried about another Robert Kennedy situation where somebody gets killed.
I have to ask you, Ron, what do you think of the growing news, and if you pay attention to Twitter, it unfolds quicker there, but today there's been a lot of talk about slipping out the doors, the back doors of the speaker's room, that her plan, her strategy here with, you know, pushing back on impeachment and pushing for more subpoenas to be pushed out this week, that what she's doing is she's pushing Trump to a place where impeachment will begin.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond anybody saying yes.
She's smarter than we realize. She's very bright.
Yeah, she's.
She's a master strategist. I realize that. I think that the majority of people out there are just stunned that we aren't impeaching the bastard. But here you have Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's doing a dance. She is doing a dance. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that's her end game in this.
I wanted to mention that there's a poll that says 56% they don't want impeachment. But,
right.
You know, back in 1998, a majority didn't want Bill Clinton impeached. The Republicans knew he would not be removed, but they still went ahead and impeached him on much lesser grounds than Trump has been involved in. But therefore, okay, he won't be removed. I realize that. But the fact is he still should be impeached for the record of history, as I wrote on my blog. Record of history, there has to be that he's held accountable in the sense that he's impeached, even if he can't be removed, because Andrew Johnson wasn't removed, and neither was Bill Clinton, but they still have it. Part of the obituary in the case of Johnson and future for Clinton, that they were impeached. And I think just for the lesson of history, we have to do that.
I agree. I wish it would be successful in Trump's case. That guy, he is, you know, he has no regard whatsoever for law and in public integrity whatsoever. He's
no, it's just like Nixon.
Artist.
The law and order candidates are always
the most lawless.
Well, you know what I think, gentlemen? I think that if impeachment is pushed in, you know, as Pelosi may be chessboarding this, and impeachment becomes inevitable in the next couple of months, and they begin those proceedings, and then the Senate just stands there with McConnell doing his dance, and believe me, people are watching these Republicans going, I can't believe this.
Oh, it'll take their toll on the Republicans.
So, you know, a lot of people, it's like Ron bringing up Clinton, and a lot of people are saying, yeah, well, last time that happened, the Republicans won, you know, houses, la, la, la. I think that it is only going to serve to bring up more spotlight on how corrupt the Republicans and Trump is, and I think it'll drive the election home. That's just me. That's what I think.
No, I agree.
People are sick and freaking tired of all of this, and they're shocked. They're just shocked constantly. They're shocked, and especially when it's being driven by, I mean, look at what went on at the NRA this past weekend. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oliver North at least got fired. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good thing.
Maynard Pierre is as evil, if not more, than Oliver North.
Oh, he's a horrible man.
Yeah. I don't know how he lives with himself. People have no ethics.
Both horrible. Yeah.
I think that's another indictment that's going to happen out of some office. I don't know if it's the Congress, but I think that after this the sentencing of the little gal from Russia is all all done and said, I think there's going to be an indictment with NRA, and it's going to follow these Republicans around because it was all funneled into their campaign.
Right.
Yeah, what about Lindsey Graham? Try to figure him out. He used to be John McCain's buddy, and now that McCain's gone, you know, Trump has attacked McCain, and suddenly Graham is – I think if McCain was here, he'd kick him in the rear end many times and say, what's wrong with you, Lindsey? It's just unbelievable how he's acting.
Lindsey Graham is a paper tiger. He's worthless. He's a wimp. I've never had any respect for Lindsey Graham.
And they've shown what he said in 1998 about why Clinton has to be impeached.
Oh yeah.
Now he claims there's nothing to impeach him on in the case of Trump.
He sure turned his tables on himself, hasn't he? What a phony.
Even McConnell back then was talking and was very strong about how Clinton must be impeached, and now he sees no case.
Yeah.
There were issues then, but nothing like this now. This is much worse.
No, this
you know?
Is far more serious.
You know, Cindy McCain was actually on the Sony Times Square board this past week a couple of times with the news that she's backing Joe Biden, in the race. And so is that little pop star, Megan. She's backing Uncle Joe.
Well, she loves Uncle Joe because Uncle Joe was there for her when her father was sick and dying. Yeah.
Mm.
And McCain, they had differences. McCain and Biden always got along, and Joe was always able to cross the aisle. And even with Graham back then, he was able to work with him. That's the one strength that he has, people who wouldn't vote for him, but they say, we like Joe, and they could work probably better with him. Although maybe too much. That's the problem. You don't want it to look like you're letting the Republicans run you. But I think he does have that ability to cross the aisle, Joe Biden. And I'm not sure for instance, Sanders does. I don't think so.
Let me ask you a question here, Ron. What are they crossing the aisle to? To what we've been watching? Are you really going to – would anybody ever go there and in a debate?
Well, not the way it is now. Like Mitt Romney spoke up against Trump, and he got blasted by Mike Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' father.
Yeah,
and I said, you know, he said something he wouldn't do anything to be unsaying, but here we have Huckabee, who I once thought, like 12 years ago, seemed, quote, reasonable, end quote, for the time. Now it's like, he's nuts, and he's another pastor who's made money on it, and his daughter is the biggest liar imaginable, and then yet they were attacking, he's attacking Romney for speaking up, at least making a statement.
Yeah. Mike Huckabee goes around in circles with bullshit, and his daughter takes just exactly after him. Exactly. You couldn't have a more perfect pair than Mike and his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. What a couple of liars and opportunistic fools, really.
Well,
yes.
You know, a lot of journalists right now, I've seen this going on all weekend and Friday evening. A lot of people, and especially after today's Sunday shows with that, Kellyanne, what does Jack call
Kellyanne Conn job?
Yes, of course.
The reputable media, if you will, are questioning deeply whether or not they should be at all inviting these people onto their shows or even attending White House briefings because it's nothing but lies.
Right. It's taken a long time, but finally they're starting to see the light.
That's serious, gentlemen, though. That is very serious.
It states very bad things about our current misadministration and how poorly it's trying to run the country and what a political hack job it's done to the process. It's absolutely reprehensible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up Texas. We have two Texas candidates, Beto O'Rourke and Julian Castro. And Beto, I think, has died down a bit, and Castro still hasn't taken off. I'm curious what you three think about either of them.
I think they're both peripheral. I don't see either one of them surviving a real long time.
Actually, I like Castro a lot.
I think he's a good man. He's a brilliant man. And Beto O'Rourke has his points, too. But I just don't see either one of them being strong enough to make it to the very end unless
they are
on the vice presidential ticket.
Maybe one of them could be vice president.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Maybe swing Texas. If they could swing Texas, they don't even need the Midwest.
That would help, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up.
Of the two, I would say O'Rourke would have the better effort because he's right on the border and he's – He's not Hispanic at all. Castro at least is Hispanic, and for all the narrow-minded bigots out there that don't like anything that isn't white and American and all that stuff, I think O'Rourke would prove more valuable to the ticket in that regard.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something funny. Beto O'Rourke is not Spanish, but he speaks fluent Spanish. Castro is Latino, and he cannot speak Spanish. I mean,
isn't that
fluent in Spanish, even though he's Latino, and yet Beto O'Rourke is fluent in Spanish and speaks in Spanish.
Well,
I think
he's right on the border, so it would behoove him to speak Spanish, being right on the border like that. El Paso's right across the border, but
think a Latino like Castro would be able to, but he doesn't.
Incredible. That's very fascinating. One of the many mysteries of the political world, you know?
Yes. And meanwhile, we have seven languages in the case of Buttigieg, including Norwegian.
Wow.
Because he wanted to read something in Norwegian, so he learned the language, and he can speak Norwegian of all languages. But that might make Trump happy, because he loves Norway and Sweden, as we know. Because
they're very
white and blue-eyed.
Yeah. Well, Buttigieg is, he's an ex-Marine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ex-Navy guy.
National Guard. I don't think
let's put it that way.
He's done
his
military,
time.
Yes.
He's
in
combat, and he's nobody's fool, and he's not effeminate in the least. So if they want to play all this stereotypical homosexual talk about him, it'll fall short, because he defies it in his persona and in the type of man he is to begin with.
Yes, and I wanted to mention his husband is a teacher. He's 5 years younger, Chasten. And, people have been saying if he was elected Buttigieg, then Chasten would become first husband.
Yeah.
We were going to have the first husband be Bill Clinton if Hillary had won. So instead of Bill Clinton, we might get Chasten, which I think in its own way is humorous.
Yeah, one of the many tricks of the trade there, I guess, yeah.
And being only 32, well, he'd be like 34. He'd be one of the youngest, mates of any president. Only a few have been younger than mid-30s. So
he
would even be one of the younger people who are the partner of the president. Yeah.
Shades of Jackie Kennedy Onassis. She was what, 31 at the time when she?
He was 31, and Frances Cleveland was 21when she married her. Grover Cleveland. Maybe she was 20. I think she was still not quite 22.
Yeah.
And I think there was one other. I'm not sure who. I think, but maybe not. But only a couple have been younger than Chasten, who's now 32.
Wow. Yeah.
All these interesting side things. Bill Clinton to Chasten. Imagine that.
Incredible. Yeah.
Do you know that a report came out from intelligence that was a combined intelligence effort that's an offshoot of not the Mueller case, but the FBI investigations that involve MI6 and two other intelligence organizations. And what they are saying and what they suspected and put over to the FBI, and the FBI is now semi-confirming, that Wisconsin, Michigan, and, where they've change the gerrymandering in Pennsylvania.
Right. In Pennsylvania.
That the voting machines were tampered with, hacked, to swing the election away from Clinton.
Oh, they've been claiming that in the state of Ohio since the election of George W. Bush. So it's been going on, let's face it. But
in 2004, there was said the votes were switched against Kerry. If he had won Ohio, he would have won the popular vote, but he would have won the electoral vote in 2004, yes.
Right.
Yeah, this electoral vote bullshit's got to stop, in my opinion.
Just imagine if Kerry had won by winning Ohio, had lost the popular vote, but become president. Imagine the Republicans screaming to end the electoral college, but now they don't want to end it.
Oh, no, they don't want to. Yeah, right.
Well, they step in and they with their gerrymandering and stuff, the way it's happened down here in Florida.
Well, they can only win election by rigging it, and that's the way they rig it, by gerrymandering and selectively they make the district fit the candidate rather than the other way around.
And also in Florida now, there's one county that supposedly they think the Russians might have been involved in fixing. I'm not sure if it's 2016 or the midterms 2018, because both Scott and DeSantis won by very small margins, so they were not favored to win over Nelson and Gillum. So I wonder if those elections were fixed too.
Yeah, but gee, Ron, they went in and stole boxes of votes down in Lauderdale. I mean, come on. This was totally a ripoff. Scott and DeSantis.
Yes.
It was totally a ripoff.
Every election that Republicans win, they win very narrowly, just enough, and it makes you wonder, you know.
I don't wonder. I know they're corrupt and they're crooked, and they'll do anything. They're ruthless. They'll do anything they can to win. And then when they get the power, then what do? They vote themselves huge tax breaks that they don't need. It's just corruption in action, big time.
And right wing judges that'll destroy the Constitution.
Oh. Yeah, it defies
logic. Well, That's going on right now in an incredible way with just the White House and the Republican Senate.
Yeah, Trump's made it a point to take care of as many judges as he can.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we have the issue coming up about the census. He's going to have the citizenship question. I hope that Roberts surprises us, as he sometimes does, Chief Justice Roberts, and joins the liberals. But if he doesn't, it looks like it's going to cut down the actual vote of how many people there are, because people would not go out.
Carefully orchestrated by Trump's pick, Wilbur Ross, you know.
Yes.
There you go. Corruption in action.
Wilbur Ross is like 84, and he falls asleep at cabinet meetings regularly. They've had photographs showing it. I don't think an 84 being in that kind of position, Secretary of Commerce, if you can't stay awake, you shouldn't be in that position.
I agree. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
it's about the oldest cabinet member ever, I think. I don't think anybody else has ever been that old and been in the cabinet for president.
Well, there isn't. I guess we've all witnessed how there isn't anything that these Republicans and Trump won't do. Nothing.
No, they're ruthless.
They are absolutely barbaric as far as the Republic goes.
Good point.
They're not apologetic even. They don't even try to say sorry.
No, they don't care anymore.
They're fanning it as if they're, you know, sometimes I basically get really frightened that they're ruining as much as fast as they can and for purpose. And when Michael Cohen said that he was gravely worried that if this president is defeated, he won't give up the White House. Well, the only thing I could say to that is that basically the military will never be part. Not our military won't allow that to happen.
Exactly. Thank God for that.
There are elements in the military that are racist and Klansmen.
Oh, yeah. It worries me.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not strong enough, though. They're not the majority of the military.
That's right. And they're not.
I hope not. I'm not that sure. I believe that they're not strong enough. I guess they're not, but, yeah.
No, I don't think they're strong enough.
Can you imagine if they end up letting him stay in power and he loses? Oh, my God. Yeah. Then we have a crisis beyond belief, you know.
It'd
be civil war.
Well, no, the rightful president will be sworn in by the Chief Justice, and the moment he is, no matter what, the rightful.
And Roberts has been critical a few times, not directly but indirectly, of Trump when Trump made the comment about the Obama judges and Bush judges, and he says, "No, we're all judges. We're not based on the president who appointed us." So he's spoken up, and I think he looks at him in a way that I think he's very much ready to keep his own reputation in the Supreme Court, and he has sided occasionally with the left. So I think he will do that when he thinks he can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what will happen if that horrible thing should happen? First of all, I would expect the Secret Service to defect. You know what I'm saying?
They should say, Mr. President, you're leaving.
Already,
you know,
he's already ruined them. He's already ruined them financially. I mean, they're begging Congress for money all the time, and Congress since the midterms have been saying, "Wait a minute," you know. Wait a minute.
And meanwhile, this service director that was fired, he made fun of him. He called him Dumbo because apparently he has big ears. Can you imagine him calling the former Secret Service director Dumbo, and he calls Jerry Nadler, the head of the Judiciary Committee, fatso, as if he's not fat himself, President Trump?
Oh, Jesus.
It's as if he insults everybody without any kind of impunity to realize, you know, and you got to wonder how often in his people of higher standing than him, which, you know, is probably the village idiot included in that crowd, have actually really brought him down in public and made him suffer. You know,
I'm not aware that has happened. It needs to be, yes.
Well, no, it has happened. It's happened by there's a mafioso in New Jersey who gave him money who would regularly insult the son of a bitch in his own casino.
Oh, really?
Well,
one thing, some people think he is like mafia, our president.
Well,
he runs the White House like his mafia.
Yeah, he operates and talks and thinks and operates like a gangster. He does.
Yes.
Like a mobster.
Yes, yes, exactly.
He does. A lot of people brought that up. You know, it's interesting. There's also some kind of a feud going on over at Fox News. Apparently, the ones running it.
Napolitano, you're talking about Andrew Napolitano?
Well, he's one, but you got Shep, what's his name? Shepard there. And
Shepard's good. He is very objective, yes.
And one, Chris Wallace, who are, like, giving the Fox News people the high sign that things have gone very wrong. Sean Hannity is considering that he's not going to get a new contract. And that horrid woman, Jeannie Shapiro, whatever, that tells the president how to maneuver. Apparently, Rupert Murdoch got a call from Trump to put her back on the air, and so he did, which I don't understand unless there's some kind of communications merger going on behind our backs we don't know about, because even Murdoch realizes the political fallout of what's going to come. And he lost Sky News. And Sky News, which is Fox News, has been taken off the air in Australia and is only getting back on and is permanently off in New Zealand because of, you know, them being who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to mention, I'm just noticing online that CNN reports at least 7 people shot in Baltimore. And earlier it was 7 people shot in Tennessee, or if they killed in Tennessee. But it's nonstop all day long, every day, in schools and everywhere, and shopping malls and in churches and synagogues and you know, in stadiums or, you know, places where there are concerts. It's just, you can't feel safe to go out of the house anymore.
Well, you know, I will defend people's Second Amendment right to kill whoever they want with any gun they want the rest of, for all eternity. This is insanity. It makes no sense. It's anti-religious, it's anti-social, it's anti-anything good whatsoever, and it's got to be stopped. It's insane. There's absolutely no right to murder people. That's bullshit.
Well, basically, you know, what was it? 5 days. In 5 days, the Prime Minister of New Zealand had pushed through, you know, all the assault weapons gone.
Good.
Just gone. I mean, they had trucks backing up to, you know, sporting goods stores.
Exactly.
It's just in England. Yeah, one of the first things you notice about Europe, about a lot of Europe, is cops are not walking around with sidearms. They don't carry guns. And
right.
It's very illegal. It's very hard to get any kind of gun permit or anything abroad. And in Russia, you know, out in the country in Russia, people have rifles and whatnot because they hunt and, you know, whatever. But guns in Russia, are you kidding me? Yet.
Yep, and yet there's still the danger for tourism in the summer that we still have terrorist attacks in Europe and elsewhere, like in Sri Lanka, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But still, what I'm saying is your constabularies are not out there carrying guns, you know. You think about the constant presence of guns. I mean, you can walk into a bar in Texas and see people wearing sidearms like it's the, you know,
1870s. The wild, wild west, yeah.
It's true, though. I mean, they've made it legal for people to, you know, go ahead and carry their arms in public. Now, I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, Texas, I'm hoping, is starting to go blue. I hope it will in the next decade, at least, it will start to go blue, and that will make a big difference in Congress and in the White House.
Yeah,
Gwen, I saw that in Ohio. Guys, they would walk into the Kroger's grocery store with their AR-15 because that was their God-given right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
The manager, I said, if you don't change your ways here in the store, I said, I see another guy coming in here. I will never shop at your store again. Let your upper management know that.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's scary. It's really scary. I mean, you got to wonder what the heck's going on. If you're sitting, I've been to the roadhouses in Texas, had fun. Boy, love those places. But I wouldn't want to be in Gillies with people who had sidearms on like that. I'll tell you that. Oh, my God. There were enough bar fights. I mean, they had one an hour.
I was going to say, you take alcohol and guns, that's always a good combination.
Just
angry young with a pistol, yeah. 7-shot magazine. That's just what we need in our society.
I mean, to tell you, that's just scary as heck. I mean, it's just too frightening to think about, but it's going on in a couple of states now, you know? I mean, boy. And you just don't think it's going to get much crazier, do you? And then something else happens. Jeez.
Well, it's like Trump. Just when you think you've reached the end of all craziness, something new pops up that's even crazier than what
he
had just seen.
He can pick whole new levels, can he, Jack?
Yeah, it's amazing.
He finds all new stratifications.
It defies incredibility. It's just it's absolutely.
But just like what he said yesterday, I'm very young, I'm very vigorous, and Joe does the same thing he says.
What a lying bastard. And he started to call Joe Biden Sleepy Joe. What a damn bastard.
He Bernie. He calls him Crazy Bernie. But he says, I'm so young, I'm really young.
Yeah,
what kind of craziness?
And
he's overweight.
Vibrant.
He's the third heaviest president after William Howard's after Grover Cleveland. And he acts like he's in better shape than Joe Biden, who's not heavy like him, you know?
No, right. It's insane. Yeah, absolutely insane.
Yeah, he is a fat bastard. And I'm not a fat shamer because I'm built for comfort. But, boy, I'll tell you, that guy is just too much. And then what he said about abortions and babies and stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of women in every nook and cranny of this country and territory that is going, you know what, old man, your days are numbered.
I hope so. The women better go come out. Black women, Latino women, white women. And I hope they really do. They did in 2018, but they have to do it now. They can't just complain and not do something about it.
Well, you know, there was a lot of there's been all kinds of reporting and this, that, and the other on what happened in the last election. But frankly, you know, 3 million votes in the popular count, isn't that pretty much a pretty hard majority of people saying no thank you?
Yes, and also 40 seats gained in the House is a massive amount, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a midterm. The question is, they got to get ready to back whoever wins and not have people say, if Sanders doesn't win, I won't back someone else, or if Joe doesn't win. We have to back whoever
only,
it is, even
only,
the ideal candidate.
Only,
you know?
Only rabid Sanders people, Bernie Bros kind, only those folks are saying things like that. I know quite a few Sanders supporters. And one is a real close friend, and it's like, well, if he doesn't get the nomination, I'll just have to hold my nose and vote wherever, you know, the Democrats land.
I hope that's what people do, because if everybody's going to stand on ceremony, we're going to lose.
Yeah, and they can't do what they did last time around because Bernie didn't get the nomination and Hillary did. They just can't sit at home. That does nothing. That elected Trump.
Yeah,
can you imagine a second term of Trump? I cannot even imagine it. It's a nightmare.
Oh, it's a big nightmare. I agree with you. That's a big nightmare. And I think that the country knows that. I really do.
I hope. I just don't know. I just wonder. I hope you're right.
I really do. Ron, thank you so much for being with us and giving us your take on things this week.
Oh, it's great. I had a great time with all three of you. Yeah.
Appreciate it so much. And can you tell people where to find you and your book that's on sale that you're pushing? You have a few, but what do you want to sell today?
Well, the book that's been out since 2015 and in paperback since 2017 is Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Covers up through 2014. It's gotten very good reviews on Amazon, and it's in paperback now. And also, I, of course, have the blogs at Progressive Professor, and I also write regular articles, more than 100 now in the last 3 years, on historynewsnetwork.org. And I also, of course, am on Facebook under my name and under Progressive Professor and under my book title, Assassinations, Threats to the American Presidency. And I'm also on Twitter at Politist, PolitHist.
And I own his book, and I'm very proud to say that I do. It's a very well-written and very well-researched and very thorough book. And
thank you.
It provides a lot of information that you may have thought you knew, but you really didn't know. So I would highly recommend people buying it.
History is fascinating. I think
it
most
sure
of
is.
Us have always loved history, especially the French Revolution.
Yep.
Hey, yeah. Let's read more about that. How did they pull that off?
I got my knitting needles, boys. Jack.
You can read me at www.jodell53.com. That's the Saturday Afternoon Post. And I put in articles twice a week in there. Usually on Mondays I have a podcast that's put together by Bird Deming, who is the author and creator of the post fairandunbalanced.com, which is also very well thought out and very well written. And then on Thursday, I usually post a full article of my own. So Saturday Afternoon Post, www.jodell53.com. And in the meantime, I'm just going to urge everybody to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, by the way, I didn't realize you're only 53. Wow, that's great. You are 53, right, Jack?
No, I'm 65.
I'm
up
teasing
there.
You about it.
I'm getting up there, yeah.
And Wayne, what about you? Tell us about you.
Well, I'm 66, and Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. That's where you'll find me in my writing. So,
very good, thoughtful writing there too.
Thank you, gentlemen, and
thank you, Glenn.
One of the sponsors of the show is sponsored by Saturday Afternoon Post and DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Check us out. Get a little mindfulness going, a little relaxation, meditation. We all could use some these days. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on today, and hopefully we'll have a safer and more even balanced week, but I don't hold my breath. That's a terrible thing to say, but look what's going on.
Well, I do think when June, the end of June comes and the debates start in the, you know, in the Democratic Party, that's when it's going to really get interesting. And
can't
different
wait.
People will stand out and others will flop, because they can't all be doing well. Some have to
right.
have you know, less money, or maybe not come across well or whatever. So
right.
we will start weeding out people over time. Yeah.
I just can't wait for those debates. They'll be awesome.
Yes, they will. I agree. Yeah. They will be something to see this time around. Okay, thank you very much.
So much, everybody.
I'm going to say good night, all, and always a good show, folks.
Yes, very good. Good to hear from you again, Wayne, and you too, Professor. We'll look forward
thank
to
you.
Talking with you again soon, I hope. And Gwen,
yes,
thank you
so.
Again so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
This has been the Sunday Show, a progressive roundtable discussion of the week's past news with Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Tonight our guest was Ronald Feynman, author and historian and professor. Thank you for listening. We will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m.